Hello, my name is Michael Wood, lead pastor at First West. I'm thankful you've joined us today. At First West, our vision is to see people changed by the gospel and living out their Christ-centered purpose. I hope today's sermon will challenge your heart and drive you to dive deeper into your purpose created by God. If you have questions about our church, reach out to us by visiting our website, firstwest.cc.
Defeated, deflated, destroyed. It was a place those that followed him were. After a brutal 24 hours where Jesus was tried, beaten, crucified, and buried, hope was lost. The smell of death and blood permeated the streets of Jerusalem as the images of the lashings and the screams and the nails driven into his hands infiltrated the mind's eye of his friends. It was over. Hope was lost. As one friend dealt with the ramifications of saying, "He's not my friend. I've never seen him." Another was tying a rope to a tree after selling the secrets and locations of his crew. Hope was lost. The stone was rolled across his grave. Guards stood watch to make sure no foolishness was arranged. And the friends and family of Jesus went away to hide in shame. Hope was lost. The friends of Jesus had been promised he could come back. He would come back. He would return. But how? We saw him bleed. We saw him hang on that tree. We saw him mocked and shamed. We saw him die. Hope is lost. Day one passed. Day two came and went. Hope was lost. But day three was different. You see, two women and friends of Jesus went to care for his body. As they approached the grave, something wasn't right. The stone was gone and the body of Jesus missing. Could it be? Could Jesus have followed through with his promise? Could hope be found? Two men, robed in white, appeared. They proclaimed the good news that he is not here. He has risen. And when hope was thought to be lost, it's been found. The Son of God arose, conquering sin, death, and the grave. And as hell shook and the enemy thought he won, Jesus proclaimed the hope of the gospel by coming out of the tomb. And it's by his own power and might that all of this happened. We can have hope because of what Jesus did for us. The same power that conquered the enemy is the same power that lives in me. He is risen.
This has definitely been the toughest time of my life, but I've also felt the closest to God more than any other time in my life as well. My name is Landon, and amidst this journey, we're still finding hope each and every day. I grew up here in North Louisiana and went to church, was saved at the age of 12. But as I grew older into high school and college years, I kind of strayed away, grew away from God and my relationship with him. It started in May of 2015. I graduated college, met my fiance, Emily. We started coming to church together here at First West, got involved in a life group, and that's when my life started turning around. Everything seemed to be going well. We were coming to church. I feel like I was starting to get everything ironed out as far as my life concerned, and December 6th happened. That morning, I remember getting the call from my oldest brother and got news that my father had collapsed getting ready for work that morning and to meet them at the emergency room. So I did, and come to find out, my father had a brain tumor that had been growing for about 2 months. It was a difficult time. I had committed my life to God, but not fully. Still had some sin in my life that I just wasn't ready to give up completely yet. And the panic, the fear, the anxiety that came after finding this news out about my dad was just overwhelming. I began to spiral. I let the fear and anxiety just completely take over my life. And I caught myself one day at lunch on my knees in my kitchen, crying my eyes out, just asking God to take everything, take my whole life, take all the sin. I'm just turning it over to you. And that's the point in time where I begin to see God touching me, my family, my mother and father as they go through this entire process. I really began to plug myself into the church, my life group, and most importantly, His Word. And daily I could tell a difference in myself, my family, as God answered just about every prayer we sent up. The doctors say that the odds are that the tumor will come back within about a year, but there's hope in this journey.
We began the service recognizing that on that day that Jesus went to the cross, that for many of His followers, hope was lost. It was lost. Everything that they thought this man Jesus was, everyone they thought that the person that He was and what He was going to accomplish, all of that in a moment was gone. But yet today, hope is alive. You heard in Landon's video, I'm thankful for his transparency, just saying, man, in the messiness and the toughness of life, that there's hope in the journey. And even today, I think if he came up here on this platform, he would say, listen, it's not all fixed. It's not all better. Not everything's exactly the way I want it to be, but there's hope to be had. You know, there's a lot of things in our lives that we hope for, right? Some of you today, you're hoping that I'll wrap this thing up quickly so you can beat everyone to lunch, right? That's what you're hoping for. You're hoping, maybe today you're hoping that someone's going to notice the new outfit that you bought for today or your new haircut or whatever. There's a lot of things that we hope for. Some of you, on a more serious note, you're hoping that your child that's serving in the military right now, that they'll make it home safely. Or there's other things in our life that we hope for. But the question that I want us to ponder today as we celebrate the significance of this day is not just what do we hope for, but it's what is the foundation of that hope? What is the foundation of that hope that we have? In the book of Titus, there was this man named Paul, and he was a significant person in the Bible and in the story of Christianity, but he had this young man named Titus, and Titus was kind of an apprentice for him. And he wrote this letter to Titus, and part of the letter, he was instructing the people that were the people of faith, and he was instructing them of what their lives should look like, how they should live. Not just to check a bunch of boxes to say, okay, yes, we're religious people, but he was saying to them, if Jesus really lives in you, this is what your life should look like. And as he gives these instructions to Titus, to the end of that section, he gives for them the foundation for why he's calling them to that. And I believe today for us on this day, as we say that hope is not lost, but hope is alive, I think that foundation is the exact same for you and for I today. I want you to look with me in Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, and you'll see the verses on the screen. Paul says to Titus and says to us today, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He, speaking of Jesus, He gave Himself for us, to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for Himself a people for His own possession, eager to do good works. The foundation that Paul lays here for Titus, he makes it very, very clear at the beginning in verse 11. He says this, that the grace of God appeared. The grace of God appeared. The idea of grace there, it's simply this, the undeserved goodness. Right? If you were to come up here today and were to say, listen, here's the keys to my truck, you can have it. No strings attached. Now, you might be really happy about that, right? Let me be honest with you. That's not going to happen today, okay? But that would be the undeserved goodness that I would be offering you. You didn't do anything to deserve it. It was simply me wanting to be kind, a nice gesture, to be loving towards you. I simply would just say, here, it's yours. And what Paul says is a foundation for us is to recognize that the grace, the undeserved goodness of God, it appeared. I want you to know today that the foundation that we have to be able to know that hope is alive is we recognize that our God is the God who shows up. He's the God who shows up. It says that He appeared. He's speaking there of all the way back to Bethlehem. And recognizing that at that moment that God had now come to walk among His creation. Paul writes about it in another place in Philippians chapter 2 as he talks about how Jesus, the Son of God, how he stepped out of heaven, the comforts, the majesty, the glory of heaven, and he came as a servant wrapped in flesh for you and for me. You see, we recognize today we can have hope because the grace of God appeared. And what you know to be true and what I know to be true is there's just something about having someone with you in the difficult moments of life. I remember when I was in college, I was off at school and I got a phone call from my dad that my grandfather had passed away. It was the first person in my life that I would consider to say they were really close to me that had died. And I had to make that drive home all by myself and, you know, just dealing with the emotions of that moment, of just the finality of my grandfather, who was my friend, my biggest supporter, my encourager, that he was now gone. I walked in, I saw my family, and just the emotions of that moment of seeing them was just overwhelming. And I remember going to the funeral that day, and if you've been in that spot, you recognize how surreal that day feels, right? I mean, from the beginning to the end, it just feels so surreal. And I was seated there at the front with my family, and I remember in that moment turning around, and as I turned around, I caught eyes with a friend of mine that I hadn't talked to in over a year. She didn't know my grandfather, she didn't know my parents, but she knew me, and she was there that day. And to this day, I will never forget, I have not forgotten the reality that she was there that day. Some of you, you know what that feeling is like. When someone walks with you in the most difficult moments of your life, I want you to know that for us, Easter is a celebration that when humanity, you and I, when we were at our worst because of our sin, God gave his best. Amen? When we were at our worst because we had rebelled against God, we had done things that went against who God had called us and asked us to be, we had rebelled against him. At our worst, God sent his best, and his best was himself. You see, Jesus appeared in a manger, but we also recognize the hope of Easter is not just that he appeared once at Easter, but that after his death, after that gruesome Friday, hanging on a cross, taking the sin and the shame of you and I on himself, the Bible says that he didn't stay there, and he didn't stay in a tomb either. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul's writing and he says this, that Jesus, that he appeared. After his death, he appeared first to Peter, and then he appeared to the 12 disciples, and after that, he appeared to over 500 people. And in fact, Paul says this. Paul is so confident. Paul's so confident in his hope of who Christ is. He says, in fact, of those 500 people who saw Jesus after he had died, most of them are still alive, although some have fallen asleep. You see, Paul understood that there were people that you could go talk to that would tell you, I have seen the risen Savior. You see, we can rejoice and have hope today and know that hope is alive because God is a God who shows up. He's a God who walks with us and has walked with us in our worst moments. And you see here in verse 13 where Paul says it's not just that he once appeared at his birth, not just that he reappeared after his death and his resurrection, but verse 13 he says, and we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We recognize today the hope for the believer is this, is that Jesus will appear again. He is coming again. And in that moment, he will reconcile and restore all things to himself. And so today, we rejoice that God is a God who shows up. But it's not just that. That's not the only foundation that Paul lays here for this idea of a life that has changed or hope that can be had. Yes, it means something when someone shows up in your life, but it's another thing when someone comes through for you. And that's what we see here. What he recognizes about God is that our God is a God who comes through. I want you to hear me very clearly. I've already told you that Easter, it's a big party, right? It's a celebration of what God has done. But let me be even more clear with you of exactly what we're celebrating today. When we say that God is a God that comes through, we recognize that Easter is a celebration that the rescue mission of God was victorious. Let me say that again. Easter is a celebration that the rescue mission of God was victorious. Amen? Amen? We can celebrate that. You see, it wasn't just his coming, and it wasn't just his dying. Jesus had made it very clear as he walked among his creation that had rebelled against him. He said to them, I have come to seek and to save the lost. He said, I am coming for those that are far from me. And in his coming, in his dying, and his victory over death in the grave, he rescued you and I. In fact, look with me in verse 14. He says here, Paul says, he, speaking of Jesus, he gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people for his own possession, eager to do good works. You see, he gave himself for us. When he stepped out of heaven, he was coming, driven by love, motivated for the glory of his name and for our good, that we might recognize that he was giving his life for me and for you. Today is a celebration that our God is a God who came through, that he was victorious, that in his rising, it showed that his sacrifice was sufficient in the eyes of the Father. And although when I look at my life, and when you probably look at your life, you see things in your life that don't line up with who God's called you to be. And the Bible says that that's a significant issue because of that sin in our lives. It separates us from God because God is a holy, perfect, and blameless God. But you see, when Jesus came, the Bible says that he who knew no sin, Jesus walked this earth, was perfect without sin, that he who knew no sin became sin for you and I, that we might become the righteousness of God. I hope you see today that Easter is a celebration, that our God is a God who comes through, that he gave himself, and he uses the word there, Paul does in verse 14, to redeem us. The idea of redeem, it means to purchase back or to buy back. Recognize, seeing today that our sin, the Bible says that we're slaves to that sin. But God, when we were dead in our trespasses, when we had no hope, that he loved us and that he sent his son to die for us, he has made us alive now through his son, Christ Jesus. The foundation for our hope today is that our God is a God that shows up and he is a God that comes through. And what an important foundation that is for us today. What an important foundation that is for our hope. And I would ask you today, what is that foundation for you? Jesus was telling a story about two builders. Two people who built a house, a wise builder and a foolish builder. He says the wise builder, he was the one who built his house on the rock. And when the rains came and the floods came and the winds beat against the house stood. But the foolish builder built his house on the sand. And when the storms came, the house fell. You see, our foundation is critical. And I would ask you today, what is the foundation of your life? What is the foundation? Have you built your life? Is the hope that you have, is it built on the foundation that God is a God that shows up and God is a God who has come through for you? Or is the foundation of your life simply hoping that you're just going to try to be a good person and hopefully that'll work out? Maybe your foundation is that your parents were involved in faith and so faith has kind of been a part of your life. But the Bible is very clear that the foundation that each of us have is a personal foundation. There's a lot of things about my life that it could be better. One of those things in my life that I just recognize that I fall short in many times is responding to text messages. I'm just not good at it sometimes. And hear me, it's never that moment where like I pull out my phone, right, and someone's texting me like, yeah, I don't like them. I don't think I'll respond to them. Now, maybe you do that, and if you do, I'm going to pray for you today, all right? Because you need Jesus. But but I don't ever pull it out and just like go, yeah, I don't like them, I'm not responding. And I can tell you, I don't pull it out and go, oh, I like them, but I'm just not going to respond to them today because I don't care. I've just got better things to do or whatever. I'll be honest with you, what normally happens when I fail to text someone back is I'm driving or I'm busy playing with my kid, I'm doing something right, and I pull out my phone and I see it and I go, okay, I'll get to that. And it goes right back in my pocket. And the person on the other end, they don't know that. My mom, sometimes she doesn't know that. Pray for me, all right? But I want you to know. And the reason I share that today is because I believe that for some of us in this room,
the message that we've heard today, that there's hope to be found because of Jesus and his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Some of us today, we've heard before, maybe 50 times, 100 times, maybe 1,000 times before, you have heard clearly that the sin in your life separates you from God. And you can't be good enough, smart enough, wise enough to earn favor with God. It is only because of what Christ has done. You've heard that message over and over again. And for some of us in the room, it's been just like picking up your phone and looking at that text message and just sticking it back in your pocket. But I want you to know that just as it is not sufficient for me to simply look at a message and put it back in my pocket and not respond, for some of us, our hope today is that we have simply read the message or heard the message and we've put it back in our pocket and we think that that will be sufficient. And I want to, in love today, to let you know that the gospel of Jesus is not just information to be known. It is a call for us to recognize our sin and our need for what Christ has done for us. And to see the overwhelming love that God has demonstrated to us by sending Jesus to die in your place and mine. And today I would ask you on this day as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, can you celebrate on the foundation that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is not just information in your head, it is a message that has captured your heart? And today I want to invite you to do just that.
Hey, I'm Josh Elliff, the campus pastor for the Calhoun campus here at First West. Thanks for watching today's broadcast. If you have questions or you want to make a spiritual decision, reach out to us. Call me at our office, 318-322-5104, and ask for me. I would love to connect with you as you process what God is doing in your life. Learn more about First West by visiting our website, firstwest.cc. Again, thanks for watching today.